I am so thankful for his goodness that it outshines anything else. I want to start today with a really cool, exciting good news. Anybody need some good news in the world? I do. I have to search it out, you know. I can't count on anybody else to bring it to me. I have to go dig it out like gold. So I told you a few weeks ago about the worship leader from California, Sean Foyt. If you haven't heard of him, you got to look him up. He started a movement a few weeks ago called Let Us Worship. He's gone all over the nation doing these events. Well, last night, guess where he was? Portland. Mm-hmm. A few blocks from where the crazy rioting is taking place. Listen to what he writes about it. Thank you, Ron, for giving us a picture because I sent it to him this morning. Please don't freak out over the lack of masks. They're outside. It's their life. Just enjoy the testimony, okay? Here's the testimony. He writes, "My kids witnessed history in Portland tonight. For me, this is all about the next generation and what we leave behind for them. We must choose revival." They saw thousands and thousands, still don't have an accurate number yet, but it was the largest gathering yet. They saw thousands and thousands gather blocks from the violent streets without fear, and they sang their hearts out. They saw real racial reconciliation. They saw hundreds get radically saved and set free. They watched hundreds run down to the river to get baptized, just like the Jesus People Movement days. Yes, I know you want to clap, but I'm almost finished. Hold on. They witnessed God show up in a place so many have written off. Listen, don't write off Portland. Pray for Portland. Pray for Portland. I'll have more to say later, but tonight may have been my favorite night of worship ever. I'm so glad we recorded it. Thank you, Portland. Your courage and your sound tonight is going to shake the foundations of America. Now give it up. Woo! Yes! Yes! Oh. Sammy wants to be close to me, that's all. Nick, you have your hands full, man. Don't worry. It's all good. We love having the kids in here. Can I just say we love having the kids in here? I really do. I know they miss their children's ministry, and I'm sad for that. But I'm really glad they're in here with us because I feel like we have an opportunity to do church family style every week. And they have been so well behaved. Kids, you've been amazing. I have a little something for you in a little while. Yeah, you've been amazing, no doubt. So I have something I'm gonna give you in a minute. So hold on, Sammy, you're gonna get it. He saw it before the service and he knows it's coming. So that's why he's so excited. So I'm gonna continue the message series we started last week. Dave kicked it off so powerfully with the theme for the month is up. Up, you know, like the kids movie, Up. God made it very clear to me that this is what he's calling us to. He wants to call us higher in this world. He wants to call us higher. I remember the first time I flew, I was just a teenager eons ago, and the first time I flew, I remember riding to the airport. I wasn't even old enough to drive. riding to the airport, and it was so dark and dreary. This has probably happened to many of you as well if you've flown any amount of time. Dark and dreary and rain coming down in sheets. And I remember, partly because it was my first time flying and partly because I just didn't get it. I'm like, is it even safe to fly in these conditions? Like, this is bad, right? I will never forget that moment after we took off and we broke above. We broke through the clouds and above the clouds, gorgeous. Blue skies, bright sun beating down. Like, amazing. And even then, at my young age, God whispered in my heart and said, don't always trust what you see, Sandy. Don't always trust what you see. Get higher. Get higher. But there's this problem with trying to get higher. Psalm 39:6 in the Passion Translation says this: we live our lives like those living in shadows. All our activities and energies are spent for things that pass away. We gather toilet paper. We hoard, right? We cling to our things only to leave them all behind for who knows who. The challenge of getting higher is that we get so busy living in the shadows and hoarding and clinging and gathering that we forget we're called to a higher life. I think in lockdown, it's even easier than ever to get into that shadow mode. And God is saying, come on up. Come on up. Now, if you've seen the movie Up, you're going to really appreciate this clip. If you haven't, that's okay. You'll still enjoy it. So we have a quick clip from Up that I think you're going to like that will tell you the sermon title.
Leave Mr. Fredrickson alone!
I love that. I hate squirrels. So the title of my message today is Squirrel. Squirrel. Because some of us, we try so hard to break above the cloud barrier, and then we hear squirrel, and we go, and it just pulls us right back down, right? Pulls me right back. It was hilarious. I spent all week working on this message. One of the days, I can't remember what day now, because all the days run together when you stay at home. So I was working on the message all day, and I thought I was really doing a good job pounding it out, you know. And then I got on Facebook in the evening just for a few minutes. It wasn't long. Squirrel! Yep, I found myself responding to someone's post, keyboard warrior. You know? And then I started laughing at myself and I hit the backspace. Sandy, that's just a squirrel. Stop it. It's a squirrel. Stop. So, kids, I told you I have a little something for you. I asked Heather and some of her girls, niece maybe, and I don't know, some girls to come and help. So, here's the thing I have for you, right? I'm hoping, hear me for a minute. Yeah, they're going to sanitize their hands, which is awesome. Pastor Sandy has a distraction problem. I admit it. I watch squirrels sometimes. So I'm hoping this will help you stay in your seat today the whole time I'm talking. You think you can do that? Adults, you think you can do that? Okay, just want to make sure. So in the white bag, you will get a bag of veggie straws. Some are sea salt flavored. Some are ranch flavored and some are cheese flavored. So you just tell Heather or whoever's giving them out which flavor you want and they will give them to you. Also in the bag is a treat because Sandy loves to give chocolate. And also you get a little bottle of water because I'm going to make you so thirsty with the veggie straws. So kids and youth first, and then if there's any left, adults can help themselves too. Oh, the best part of the bag, there's a little tiny squirrel inside. You can put in a fairy garden, or you can put in your room somewhere. It's fun, just because I like doing that stuff. So today, I'm talking about squirrel-like distractions that we have to go through, that we have to get rid of if we're going to go higher. Squirrel-like distractions. The first one I want to look at today, don't worry about the kids, they're happy. They have a snack, they have a treat, they have a squirrel, they have a water. Life is good. Sideshows. The first squirrel-like distraction I want to talk about is sideshows. Woo, how many of you know we have some sideshows going on right now in our world? Like some serious sideshows. Did you ever go to the circus and you want to watch the center ring, but then something's happening over on the side and you want to watch that, then you want to watch the other side and you can't figure out where to look? And it's all good? Well, it's not like that. These sideshow distractions are not that good. They're not that good. The first one I want to look at, the first verse I want to look at is in Proverbs 4:23. And I particularly like the Message translation on this one. It says this, keep vigilant watch over your heart. Now, I used this verse a few weeks ago. Keep vigilant watch over your heart, for that's where life starts. But I didn't continue. Today, I'm going to continue past that verse. It says, don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. I need this. I need this verse because it's easy for me to share sweet water about the love of Jesus on this side of my mouth and then turn and out of this side of my mouth sometimes comes some very unsweet stuff. Right? Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore, what? Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left, pun intended. Leave evil in the dust. Look neither right nor left, leave evil in the dust. Listen, I am not a person who believes that we are to pretend nothing is happening in our world. I'm not that person. I'm very aware of what's happening in our world. Probably more aware than most of you know about me. I'm super aware. But I feel a high calling. I'm using that word intentionally. I feel a high calling to not immerse myself in them. I am determined to be informed, but not immersed. The only thing I want to be immersed in is the presence of Jesus. That's what I want to be immersed in. I want to be informed. Jesus was informed. He didn't live life in a box away from his world. He was very informed. He knew exactly what was going on around him, but he did not immerse himself in that. You know, he immersed himself in his relationship with God. That's what he did. I had good intentions today of putting bricks in a backpack. I did put some in here, but all four of them wouldn't fit. Oh, so there's one already out. Because what happens is when we get sidetracked by sideshow distractions, it weighs us down from going higher. It weighs us down. So we got rid of one before we started because I couldn't fit them all in. So we got rid of sideshow distractions. Don't get immersed in that stuff. Get immersed in Jesus. I'm telling you, if you're going to go down the rabbit hole, spend twice as much time in Jesus' presence. You hear me? Saturate your heart with the presence of Jesus. The second one I want to look at is to-do list. Woo, I'm good at these. I make my list, checking it off, you know. I'm just kind of task-oriented by nature. That's partly the way I'm wired. Margo knows. That's how I am, right? And it's okay. I get stuff done. But it can become another squirrel, because I get so caught up in what I'm doing, I forget there are living people around me who need Jesus. I also forget that I can get immersed in Jesus and with Jesus. And there's a very familiar story found in Luke 10, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because probably everybody in this room has heard it at least once. But I want to set it up a little bit because the story of Martha and Mary. A great to-do woman. I admire her, actually. But before this happened, it's kind of interesting. Some of you may have not noticed. I don't know. I just really discovered it this week. Before this happened, Jesus has just told the disciples a few verses before, the harvest is plenty. The workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers into the fields. Now, as a person who likes my to-do list, I would probably add that to my list. There are people who need to be harvested. I need to get to work. Pray for workers, not sitters. Okay? And then this happens. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. Mary sat down attentively before the master, absorbing every revelation he shared. Now, we're going to pause there for a moment because I want to make you aware, if you're not, that Mary was breaking all societal expectations by doing that. Hopefully we've grown a little bit since then, but then every woman was expected to be in the kitchen because the disciples were supposed to be sitting at Jesus' feet learning from the rabbi. You understand, she was breaking all the rules by doing that. So Martha had every right to get upset. Just want to make that clear. I say tongue in cheek a little bit. But Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guest. So she interrupted Jesus. Now that is funny. I don't care how you slice it. She invited a very well-known rabbi into her home to take care of him. And then when she got mad, she interrupted him from sharing revelation. She said, "Look, don't you think it's unfair that my sister left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her to get up and help me." How many of us, we get offended over something and we're not happy just to be offended? We want to drag other people into our offense. I have been told many times in the last 5 months, pastors need to be doing this. Okay, then you should become a pastor and do it. I'm doing what God's called me to do. Period. The Lord answered her, "Martha, my beloved Martha." Oh, how I love Jesus that he said that. He didn't say, "Listen, you big baby, stop whining." He said, "Martha, my beloved Martha. Oh, I love you so much. Why are you upset and troubled, pulled down, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important? Mary has discovered the one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted, and I won't take this privilege from her." Talk about a squirrel to-do list. That can drag you down so fast. Don't let it. Don't let sideshow distractions bring you down. We're going to get rid of another brick now. I hope I don't break a nail. Get rid of the brick of to-do list. I'm not saying God hasn't called us to be productive. I believe he has. My joy is being productive for his kingdom, not for stuff that doesn't matter. There are times when I'm working so hard and I feel like the Lord says, "Sandy, why are you so upset and worried about things that don't matter? Really?" The next squirrel-like distraction I want to look at is fear. Ooh, that's a big one right now. That's a big one. I feel like there are times when I go into a store or to an environment and I can literally feel fear penetrating the environment like I have never in my life. Maybe right after 9/11, but it kind of died off quickly. This has been months of living this way for some people. And I have moments. I'm not saying I don't. I have moments. But we need to get rid of the squirrel-like distraction of fear. The background is another familiar story. 5,000 people have just been fed by Jesus with a few loaves and fishes, more than 5,000 to be fair, 5,000 men plus women and children. He's just fed them. Then he says to his disciples, okay, I'm going to dismiss the people. You go, get in the boat, go to the other side of the lake, and I'll meet you over there. Now, they've just seen this amazing miracle. You would think their faith would be way high, right? They get into the boat and cross the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. Wow, what an amazing experience. So I have an appreciation for this story more now because I've seen it with my eyes, you know. We didn't swim in it, not allowed, but we took a boat out on the Sea of Galilee and we did that song, Take My Feet Out on the Water, where, what is it, I forget. Where, yes, Oceans, the Ocean song, thank you, couldn't think of it. That song was actually recorded there, which is awesome. Yeah, the video. So they're out on the Sea of Galilee. There's a terrible storm that comes up, and well-seasoned fishermen are freaking out because they think they're going to die. They've just seen the miracle, and they have a whole lot of experience as fishermen on that sea, and they are losing it because they think they're going to die. And then Jesus comes walking on the water, and they freaked out again because they're like, "What? It's a ghost!" And then in Matthew 14, 27 through 31, we pick up the story. Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid. I'm here. I say to you, Jesus is here. Be brave, don't be afraid. Jesus is here." Peter shouted, oh, you gotta love Peter. "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water." Now, there were other disciples. Nobody else said that, only Peter. I love that he did. "Come and join me," Jesus replied. "Come on." So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk toward Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. Every time in the last 5 months when I've gotten afraid, it was because I was looking around, not up. Every time. Maybe it was 2 weeks into lockdown. I haven't told many people this. Maybe 2 weeks into lockdown, I woke myself up in the middle of the night coughing my head off like I've never coughed before. And immediately the enemy painted a picture in my mind of me in a hospital dying alone. I mean, that fast. And I'm like, oh, coughing, because, you know, that's what they tell you. The first symptom or one of the first symptoms is uncontrollable coughing. And I had to say, "Jesus, help me. I'm here alone in my condo, but I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Jesus is here with me." And as soon as I turned my eyes to Jesus, the fear left, the picture in my mind went away, and I rolled over and went back to sleep. I'm telling you, that's how it happened. It's not because I'm that amazing. It's because Jesus is that amazing. All we got to do is turn our attention to him. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. But he did something well. "Save me, Lord." He didn't just sink and die. He was like, "Save me." I think Jesus is waiting for some of us to say, "Save me, Lord." And then the next day, "Save me, Lord." And then the next minute, "Save me, Lord." Right? Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and lifted him where? Up. And said, "What little faith you have. Why would you let doubt win?" Here's what Peter did well. I want to walk on the water too. He also stepped out of the boat. Some of us are hiding in our boat. "Don't come near my boat. 6 feet. Stay away from my boat." He got out of his boat. He began to walk toward Jesus, and he cried out to Jesus. What he didn't do so well, he took his eyes off Jesus. I'm not throwing stones. I do the same thing sometimes. But he would let Jesus pull him up. He cried out to Jesus and let Jesus pull him up. So we got rid of the fear brick. Woohoo! I want to show you how heavy it is. It's heavy, right? The last squirrel-like distraction I want to talk about today is probably going to surprise you. Popularity. Popularity can be a distraction just as much as fear can be a distraction. Here's the background on this story that some of you may be familiar with. Jesus has just begun to go into public ministry, and he's doing miracles left and right. He has just set free a very publicly well-known demonized man. People are like, whoa, how do you do that? You know, it says actually great astonishment swept over the crowd. And then he healed Simon's mother-in-law, and every single person who was brought to Jesus was healed, whether it was a physical condition, a mental condition, a spiritual condition, they were all healed. So he got really popular really fast. And in Luke 4, 42, it says this, at daybreak the next morning, the crowds came and searched everywhere for him. But Jesus had already left to go to a secluded place. When they finally found him, they held him tightly, begging him to stay with them in Capernaum. But Jesus said, don't you know there are other places that I must go to and offer them the hope found in God's kingdom realm? This is what I have been sent to do. Jesus continued to travel and preach in the synagogues throughout the land. Here's what I see in that passage. Jesus refused to let popularity deter him from his mission. He just refused. Don't you think it would have been easy, especially with him knowing what was coming, because he knew, it would have been really easy to enjoy the accolades of the many. But he knew his mission. When you and I are living in a higher realm, we're not going to let the approval of people sway us from what we're called to do. We're not. A long time ago, I'm terrible with time frames. A long time ago, I did a message on Nehemiah. You might remember, I highlighted the fact that when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem, he had his enemies come and they were trying to get his attention. They didn't like what he was doing, so they were trying to trap him. And so they sent him a letter and they said, hey, come down and meet with us. We need to talk through some stuff, right? Do you remember his response? I am doing a great work, and I will not come down. That's the last brick. Even popularity doesn't have to deter us from our high calling. Now, next week, we're going to talk about come up here. So I'm going to talk a lot about high calling. But let me just give you a brief glimpse first. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's the great work I know I'm called to do. Bring the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of earth. That's what I'm called to do. Anything else is a sideshow distraction. Anything else is not my mission. I don't care if I end up with 10,000 followers on Facebook or 100. That is not my mission in life. My mission in life is to bring the kingdom of heaven down to the kingdom of earth. I hope to do that until I take my last breath. And when a squirrel is thrown at me, whether it's a sideshow distraction, whether it's a to-do list, whether it's fear or whether it's popularity, I hope I have the courage to say and the wisdom to say, I am doing a great work. I will not come down. I will not come down. God, we thank you that we get to partner with you in bringing your kingdom to earth. Forgive us for getting distracted by squirrels. Show us how to do the great work you've called us to without coming down for any reason. Keep our mission ever before us. God, we want to stay immersed in your presence. And live above the dreary. Live above the storm. And God, help us to bring others up with us, not to be content just to live up, but to bring others up with us. And God, I also pray a blessing over all those who've been so faithful to give their tithes and offerings to Oak River. I pray that you would multiply it many times over, even as they drop their check into the box at the back or whether they do it online, that you would pour out a blessing on everyone who sees the great work that we are trying to accomplish here and they see the importance of making it happen. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. So if you didn't notice, there's a table set up in the foyer now. This week and through next Sunday is the deadline. Next Sunday's the deadline. We're doing a huge fund and food drive for our community hunger center, which is a food bank in Twinsburg. Last time they did amazing things with our donations, and we just wanted to bless them again. So if you have a heart to bless them, they have served so many families, especially that's increased a lot since the pandemic has hit. So if you want to be part of that, you can drop a check into the box if it's made payable to our community hunger center, or I'll put a box out on the table after church. I forgot before church that you can drop it in. If you want to do cash, put it in an envelope and mark it what it is. Just make sure you designate what it is, okay? Because everything you give that's designated to them is going directly to them. Stephanie, that white box is in my office. Thank you very much. She's so good. I appreciate her. So you can do that if you want to partner. I thought this week it might be good for you to ask some of your, if you want to ask your employer, because some businesses really like to participate in food bank drives or whatever. So if that's the case, maybe you could say, hey, our church is doing this. You want to partner with us? And if they do, their check should be made payable directly to our community hunger center, and you get to be the conduit, which is kind of cool. So if you want to do part of that, if you don't want to bring it today or next Sunday, there's a drop-off on Saturday between 4 and 5 p.m., right? 4 to 5? Okay. Natalie's organizing that, our Extend Love team leader. So hope you're able to be part of that. Next week, like I said, the title, actually have the title a week in advance this time, Come Up Here. Come Up Here is the title for next week. I'm going to talk about what it means to live up above the storm, what it looks like after we've gotten rid of all our bricks. Look how light my backpack is now. Woohoo! That's how we're supposed to live, light and free, not weighed down, okay? Have a great week. Love you guys. Thanks for coming. And enjoy your week. Live high.